This audio is brought to you by EBA Hearing, where compassion meets expertise.
This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm joined by CEO of Johnson County Healthcare Centre, Luke Sendon. Hello, Luke, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Kate?
Nice to see you, and I'm glad we're finally getting a moment to sit down and visit. Although this is kind of a tough topic, because we're going to talk about healthcare shortages and what in many other communities, not just nationally but globally, is becoming a crisis of just really being able to find healthcare workers to staff healthcare facilities to the levels which patient demand has come to hope, expect, and so on. And we're feeling that just about now in Johnson County, we're getting to the sharp, pointy end of it. Many people will be aware that there's been challenges in finding CNAs and maybe some other support staff from time to time, but it seems the walls seem to be closing in a little bit, and that's exemplified at Amy Holt, where you have 44 beds, but 11 of which have had to be closed because of staffing issues. Obviously, that has an implication for how much you as a facility are then taking back in financially, so there's some cyclical things. And so how is this working out in reality, Luke, and what are you able to do to kind of keep providing for patients in Johnson County?
Yeah, I think, like you said, Kate, the healthcare has really been feeling a crunch, I think, for a long time. I think we've been maybe unaware of how fortunate we've been here in Johnson County about really not having to go the traveler route. I know that as a healthcare, you know, globally has really had to lean on at least aspects of CNA and R and traveler coverage just to help fill shifts. I think COVID has definitely expanded that. It definitely grew the drastically the dollar amount that travelers were getting paid, and has, I think, caused more people to maybe step into that avenue as well, and really has created the snowball impact in the healthcare setting as, you know, people that normally would have stayed and been a, you know, permanent employee in a healthcare facility are now going and traveling and maybe even coming back to you know, their same facility.
So maybe there was an issue prior to COVID, but COVID certainly seemed to kind of accelerate and exacerbate some of those issues. Can you explain what you mean by traveler for people who don't know that?
So a traveler, when you use that term, is just somebody that we hire an outside firm to help bring in, you know, CNA or an RN. Right now we have travelers in our lab. So it's somebody who's employed by somebody else but coming to take shifts inside of our facility.
And so how long would a traveler, I mean, I suppose it's like a temp, a temporary, how long would they typically come for?
Yeah, I think they come in, you know, various lengths depending on the demand of the facility and the availability of the traveler. A lot of times it's about a 3-month engagement, I think, is where they normally kind of fall, but can be shorter or longer.
And so you mentioned that they cost more. Are they paid significantly more for that lifestyle?
Yeah, well, and I don't know exactly how it works on their side, but they cost us significantly more for that the shift that they work.
Okay, you know, so double or
2 to 3 times what we would normally be paying somebody in
that position. A significant amount. And, of course, that's not reimbursable in any form to you. You don't get that back through health insurance claims or Medicare, Medicaid.
Because we're a critical access hospital, some of that we get back through the cost report because we're paid based on cost on the hospital side. But in the nursing home where we've really seen, you know, the huge crunch, they're not cost reimbursed in the nursing home. And so that's where, you know, it really starts to make a huge impact.
Okay, so thinking about the nursing home, which is, you know, really a magnificent facility. It's very highly rated in terms of our region, one of the preferred nursing homes. Why is it so hard to find staff for the nursing home as opposed to other parts of Johnson County Healthcare Center?
I think that's, you definitely see that, I think, in healthcare across the board. You know, the first hospital I worked at, we had two nursing homes that we oversaw, one we owned, one we managed. Travelers for CNAs have kind of always been a big deal in the nursing home setting. I think a lot of people get their start there, but not a lot of people make their careers as a nursing home CNA. And so You know, you definitely, you see some people that do, but I think, you know, there's a lot of stories you hear about people who become RNs who maybe got their start as a high school student, as a nursing home CNA. And so,
and of course, I think our high school offers a CNA program, doesn't it? Has that been successful in helping you feed some CNA support?
We definitely have got a lot of, you know, especially over the years, our summers seem to be pretty full with high schoolers that are coming through and picking up CNA shifts. And
but of course, they're not available all the time, so it doesn't really help.
And that's the thing, you know, and you don't want to take people's you know, childhood away in their high school years. And fortunately, a lot of those employees are actually really active in band and athletics and different things like that. And so it's important for them to, you know, be well-rounded and take advantage of, you know, those high school years and do those things. But it then puts a strain on us, you know, as a healthcare facility to have somebody that will be fully staffed through the summer. And a lot of them will, you know, even pick up some shifts during Christmas break or some of those kind of things. You know, we get some college students that come back and we'll pick up shifts as well. You know, but we have a lot of months outside of summer here. And so that makes it.
And let's be honest, CNA work is not for everybody.
Yeah.
And that may also explain why people who have trained as a CNA don't make a career out of it. I mean, it's hard, difficult.
And a lot of them get in and realize they love taking care of people, and that's a huge passion of theirs. And so they go on and they be LPNs and go get their RNs. And so, I mean, I think we have countless stories of across our facility of people who that was their first job. But now they work for us in different capacity. And so, you know, we really encourage that and for people to kind of grow in that way. But it also then means that CNA position is one we're just continually recruiting for. So.
And so, unfortunately, not only have you had trouble with CNAs, but recently, you know, for some reasons which maybe you'll explain, you know, you're going to be down on some nursing staff.
Yeah.
At Amy Holt too. What's going to happen with that?
Yeah, so I mean that's part of the process that we're kind of digging into now. How do we kind of combat that? I think, you know, a lot of that, a lot of, you know, nurses come out of school and, you know, they're in there growing a family period. So I think that's becoming a growing trend across healthcare too, where, you know, people go to school, they become RNs, they start their family when they get out of school, and then maybe they don't want to work full capacity anymore. So we're seeing more and more people that are kind of pursuing that direction. They want to be home, and maybe we'll pick up a couple shifts here and there, but really are looking for more part-time PRN-type work versus full-time. And so as that trend continues too, it's kind of also adding on. So some of the nurses we're losing are fit that bill. They're, you know, growing their family and looking for just something part-time to come back to. And, you know, some are, you know, want to leave and, you know, maybe they're an LPN, they want to go get their RN. So, you know, it's definitely not a, we're seeing one thing or even really a trend of people wanting to not work at Amy Holt. I think we have a really good culture and a really good team over there, a great leadership team over there. But, you know, life happens, and so that's kind of what we're seeing right
so
now.
So we have some great nursing training facilities in our region, which are extremely strong.
Mm-hmm.
Are they full when they're training nurses? Because sometimes people like to kind of train somewhere, and they intend to stay in the region. So are you seeing that there is potential? Is there any, you know, light at the end of the tunnel for new nurses being trained and being able to come from, let's say, the Sheridan Nursing School and so on?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of nurses that have gone on. I think we actually have several that have gone on this last year from LPN that are going to be graduating this year with an RN. So several of those are coming back to us. And so I think we have, on the hospital side, maybe four nurses that are set to start working for us this summer. Several of them are pregnant and going to be having babies shortly as well. So we're kind of seeing, you know, some light at the end of the tunnel, but also, you know, maybe some other delays from that standpoint as well. And so, but yeah, we just sent a pretty good team up to Sheridan, had a career fair. And so our HR manager and Miranda Camino, our manager of the clinic, Mary Litzel, our DON at the hospital, and Brenna Gorm, our DON at Amy Holt, all went and attended the career fair. You know, they met with a lot of people up there. We try as much to be an educational site and really let people come learn here. So we do that with med students as well as nurses. And so we have a lot of nurses from different programs that'll come and really get some hands-on training. And Sheridan College is one of those, you know, where they will send. And, you know, especially during the school year, it's pretty constant where you walk down to the floor and you see one of their nurses on-site training. And so I think we have a really good relationship with that program, which is great because it's close. And so it definitely helps continue to feed our nursing staff.
So one of the things that, you know, COVID does, it's one of the kind of vestiges of the COVID memory, which has just very recently been declared. We're no longer in a health crisis, in a pandemic. But, you know, nurses felt very beaten up, but maybe not so much in this part of the world. I mean, the epidemic, the COVID-19 experience was very different here than maybe, say, if you were in, you know, a very large metropolitan urban community where you may have been on much more intense lockdown. The impact on healthcare workers with the sheer volume of people needing medical attention was very different. Do you think that that then plays back into the issue of getting nurses recruited back and attracted back into nursing differently in rural communities?
Yeah, I think it definitely can play a factor. I think we had, you know, several individuals that are, like our foundation has a scholarship for people going to nursing school or different positions. And we had several people default because they were going to school to become an RN and decided, you know, with COVID that wasn't the career that they wanted to stay in. And so I think, you know, our experience is small, but I think if you even, you know, multiply that out across the country, there's probably several people that kind of fit that bill, and they were already predicting, you know, a huge nurse shortage before COVID.
That's interesting.
You know, I think I don't remember the exact year, but, you know, let's say 2018, 2019, they were already predicting like 500,000 nurse shortage by 2030. And so you throw COVID in and people retiring earlier, and even if you have one or two classes that decide they're going to pursue a different career than nursing, you know, it definitely has, you know, a compounding, you know, impact to that already, you know, severe shortage that we were going to be
looking at. So what is the healthcare profession or healthcare providers, what are they doing to kind of maybe try and, we talk about getting creative, you know, and there are a number of different sectors that are having to get creative. What is the, are there conversations happening amongst, you know, your professional peers? What is everybody, is there any sort of solutions that may, do regulations need to be changed? Does you need to throw more money at it? What is,
are
options?
Right now, there's just a bunch of kind of information gathering, I feel like we're getting, you know, there's been some surveys through the state or nationally that have been going out about how do we help recruit people back into the healthcare industry. You know, I think that's the hard part. You know, it's hard at a small local level to do a lot when it comes to like, how do you actually get people into interest in healthcare? We've talked about maybe we need to do a larger partnership with high school. And I think even this last semester, we've had seniors and sophomores and even kindergartners come through our facility, wanting to kind of show them how many different avenues you could pursue a field in healthcare. Because I think a lot of people, when they think healthcare, they think doctors and nurses. But it's really so broad when it comes to, you know, we have accountants and medical billers and registration staff and, you know, housekeeping and all this stuff. And I keep saying that healthcare is the greatest, you know, teamwork industry there is, because it really takes everybody. If we don't have a clean facility, infection rates go up. If we don't have, you know, a functioning HVAC, unit, then that impacts our OB and delivery and the care we can provide to that newborn who really needs a warm environment. And so, you know, healthcare really is such a broad, and it's so important to any community, and the ability to really sustain, make people feel safe and comfortable when they, you know, look at moving back home or look at where they're going to retire, you know, when healthcare becomes a greater need. And so I think that's a piece that we're really trying to kind of expand what people think of when they think of Johnson County Healthcare Center, and maybe, you know, what we can do actually, you know, meet one of the fields that they were looking at going into.
So what is the viability of the healthcare centre? I mean, it is very much, you know, a cornerstone of our community. Mm-hmm. We have a skewed older population in Johnson yeah. County. Many people, you know, are new to Johnson County and they tend to be older, and maybe part of their decision making was the quality of mm-hmm. healthcare that was here, but you have less beds available in Amy Holt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have a family member that needs to be in a nursing facility, to have it right on your doorstep and to know that it's a great one mm-hmm. is significantly different than having to drive 30, 50, 60, 80 miles mm-hmm. just to make a simple visit and yeah. check in. And obviously, human contact is hugely beneficial to people's well-being, not just their physical health, but yeah. their emotional and mental well-being as well. Are you concerned about the future viability of the healthcare centre?
I think I'm definitely not concerned about the viability of the healthcare centre as a whole. I think we're seeing across the country issues with nursing home beds, which is, I mean, really growing. Even when we're full here, we're not able to find beds for hospital patients that are waiting nursing homes. So we see longer and longer stays for people inside of our facility because nursing homes kind of across the country, especially in our region, are you know, becoming really short. And so each closure of a long-term care facility means there's just less beds out there. And as we have this aging population, especially in Johnson County, it's hugely important that we have that viability. But, you know, I think that's an issue that we're all kind of facing. So, you know, we're hoping, you know, some increased Medicaid rates help, that there's some other things we can potentially, you know, look at. You know, maybe there's other ways we need to repurpose the closed hallway to bring some revenue back in to make that a viable area and kind of help with some of those, you know, fixed costs that the nursing home has for that space. We're really going to try to get creative in what it looks like to help. I think it's really important to realize that, you know, we've always felt the nursing home's, you know, a huge cornerstone of our care delivery here at Johnson County Healthcare Center. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that continues to be the case moving forward.
So, of course, the other part of that is that not only do you attract people to the profession, you attract them to your facility, but where are they going to live once you've done that? Yeah. Have you found housing as being an issue?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, over the last year, I have more and more conversations through our community with different business owners about the lack of affordable housing. You know, that seems to be a growing and growing issue. And when people can't afford, you know, to come live here or to stay here after high school, and they, you know, they want to go be in healthcare, but there's not a affordable apartment for them to get. So maybe they go somewhere else instead of staying here at home. You know, I think that's an issue, and, you know, it's definitely not a fun issue or one that, you know, I think is popular. But if you look at, I think, businesses across town, there's a lot of people that are really hurting for staff. And even, you know, with inflating wages, you know, as much as has happened since I've been in Johnson County, it's just not sustainable. We can't just, you know, pay people more and more and more and more. We have to address that, you know, we have a population that's needed to support Johnson County and Buffalo and in order to actually, you know, have that working base with all the retirees that have been moving in over the last couple of years, that we have to really be able to have affordable housing options for our community.
And we're not talking necessarily just about being able to sustain growth. We're talking just about being able to maintain what we have, maybe getting better at what we do, but we're not talking about significant amounts of growth. Or expansion.
Yeah, I mean, I think Amy Holt's a perfect example. Is, you know, they built this because we need 44 beds to sustain this community. I think if we opened up the additional hallway, we would have it filled really quickly. That's definitely not an issue. But when we're working with, you know, Asmin, I think there's times where we've had 40% of the aides we've had have been travelers who don't live in our community. That's not sustainable long term. And so
where are those travelers landing for the few weeks or months that they're here?
A lot of them end in hotels or different things like that. A lot of the times that's worked out with the traveler company, not with us. So I don't know
right.
if it's,
okay.
you know,
would,
one way
would
or
you
another,
ever consider kind of building some kind of apartment type facility or dormitory type facility, or
yeah, I mean, is that viable? There's been some conversations there. I think when you look at how the hospital's paid with the cost report, anything that's not allowable can come back to us as a big loss. And so, you know, that's the issue we're facing with, you know, Amy Holt, is that, you know, when you have things that aren't, that don't fit into the model of critical access, that it really can snowball what you're experiencing for a loss. And so that'd be my fear, is, you know, to go down that road of building something. I think it's something that, you know, we could look at partnering with some people, as long as, you know, we don't have ownership of it or things like that, you know, to maybe help secure, you know, some potential there. But it definitely is, I think it's an issue that not just us.
And of course, and you know, for those who don't know, Johnson County Healthcare Center is not truly just a private enterprise. It is, you have a mill levy, you receive a mill levy, and with those benefits come strings and boundaries and parameters within which you can operate. Yeah. So there's some red tape there, some things that you can and can't do, which probably adds, I'm sure, a degree of complication for you.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does. I mean, the three mills that we do receive, you know, is definitely beneficial, and it has been great in helping sustain the nursing home. But I think, you know, even talking about the mills is, you know, from the time they decided to build Amy Holt, you know, the tax valuation of the county's come down quite a bit. So, you know, I think they built it with the intent that it would probably be losing money forever, that it's not a for-profit, or not able to really sustain itself. So with the tax subsidies in the hospital, that it, you know, it'd be something viable. But as that valuation's gone down and the hospital's, you know, kicking more and more into it, you know, it's just not, the trajectory that we're on now isn't sustainable. So,
and of course, not only has the mill levy gone down, but also the cost of operation has gone up quite dramatically. I don't know what the percentage is, maybe you do, but the percentage for just operating even at a break-even point is much tougher to...
Yeah, it's changed drastically, and it's a little bit tricky. So I've ran a bunch of numbers, but it's tough with, you know, closing hallways and you know, some of these pretty drastic changes. So, you know, even just looking at the cost per day for a resident for us to run the nursing home has gone up drastically over the last 3 years.
So do you... Have you always carried, so to speak, Amy Holt?
Yeah, I went and looked back the last 5 years, and Amy Holt's lost over $1 million for each of the last 5 years. I think close to $1.5 million.
That sounds a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so do you just build that in? Are you envisaging that that's going to be a sort of probably continual loss, and you provide it because it provides a complete suite of healthcare for the community? Is that...
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, I wasn't here, obviously, when they made the decision to build and do the design as it's been done. But, you know, a nursing home, and like you were talking about, the access to go see your loved one, especially if it's your spouse, you know, and it's hard to drive, you know, 80 miles round trip, 100 miles round trip, you know, to us, it's really been seen as a pillar of what we're able to offer, you know. I think the caveat is, you know, how much of that can we sustain long term, and, you know, the impact that has in sustaining the hospital and the clinic and some of these other operations as well. You know, nobody has an endless wallet, and so, you know, we really have to kind of start getting creative with how do we make this sustainable, whether it's partnerships with the high school and getting people interested in pursuing healthcare. And sometimes that's a long term play, right? You know, you might get five students in a graduating class that are like, I want to come back and work at Johnson County Healthcare Center. But that might, you know, that might take 8 years before they actually come back.
You don't have the time
to wait for that. What that looks like. And so I think we really need to start tackling this in a variety of ways. And
so as we wrap up, what comes next? You know, what are you going to do in the next kind of weeks and months going forward to, you know, make sure that there are the healthcare providers, you don't have to close more beds, and, you know, what comes after?
Yeah, I think that's something that we're in the process right now of what do we need to do right now to sustain what we're able to do from, you know, is there any recruiting, you know, avenues we haven't pursued, or you know, different opportunities that, that we're digging into. So I think right now we're kind of saying everything's on the table. Let's, you know, pull people together. Let's throw a bunch of ideas on the table. Let's see where we, you know, what we need to chase down. So I think over the next couple months, we'll come up with a pretty good roadmap, for us to see what we can do to provide a sustainable, you know.
Well, I wish you the best. You're not the only sector who's facing these challenges. In fact, I don't know a sector that isn't right now, certainly school district, teachers, even just transportation support, cleaners, and so on. It, certainly it's the same in EMS, first responders, police. We have it's a societal challenge for us all, but I wish you well with this, and I hope that every bed possible can stay open, and that the impact on healthcare in Johnson County is not intense.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much indeed for your time, Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Appreciate your time.
This audio was brought to you by EBA Hearing, where compassion meets expertise.